where I was going towards and what I felt like God had called me towards, I had told her specifically, she's Roanoke born, Roanoke raised. She is a Roanoke girl through and through, and I remember telling her, we're going to move a bit, baby, if you're going to marry me. I'm in ministry. I may be in Illinois. I may be in Rhode Island. God may make me suffer on the beaches of Hawaii. Oh, please, Lord, oh, please. I remember telling her. And I was ready for that, and I kind of thought it'd be kind of cool, and we'd have adventures, and we'd go places, and I ain't moved. I've been in Roanoke since I got here in late 86. I ain't moved. We ain't moved. That's rare. Usually in the pastorate, you pastor for a while, and then you're somewhere else, and then you're somewhere else. And it didn't work out that way. And so some of that adventure that I'd like to have, I didn't have. I got to tell you, it's a blessing. I love you guys. I love being here long term. I didn't move. Some people would call that plan B. What do you do in the middle of plan B? Or let's do it this way. She was going to get married. She was going to have a lot of kids. And she was going to stay at home and raise the kids. And that was her life's goal, her heart's desire. And her husband agreed. And they had the first kid. And he found somebody else and walked out. We call that plan B. Because it wasn't what she thought it would be. He was first in his class. He's on the career track. He was sacrificing everything to make a career at this company that had been around forever. And one day they just shut the door. Sorry, we're insolvent. And now he can't pay the bills and all these things he bought because he has such an amazing career path, such a trajectory. That's plan B. The health problem cropped up unexpectedly, like they often do, and literally changed everything for the rest of his or her life. These things happen, right? None of us live a plan A life. They're all plan B lives. It wasn't what they planned for life to be. And every single one of us have that story, right? Every single one of us. I'm looking around. I don't see too many astronauts, and yet back in my day, we're all going to be astronauts. We used to want to be president. I don't think I could take that kind of exam. I'd find out stuff about myself that ain't even true. I don't want to do that. We're all living plan B lives because it's not what we had planned for, not the way we thought it would turn out. It doesn't work that way. It can be a mess, but no one lives a plan A life. It's always plan B. No one. No one. And how you handle where you are is more important than where you are. Let me say it again. How you handle what life has dealt you, what you have done, what others have done to you, the way life has gone, how you handle that is more important than what has happened to you and where you are right now. And so, Jeremiah 29, some of you know that. Oh, that's my life verse. Don't make that your life verse. I'm just saying, you'll catch it, for I know the plans I have for you. That's the Jeremiah 29. In Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah is a prophet writing to exiles. They're living in Babylon. They're no longer in the promised land. This promised land is what God had promised their ancestors, Israel's ancestors. They had taken the promised land. They had done well. They had worked. They had sweated. They had defended. They were in the promised land. God's people had been promised it, and they were in that land. It was an amazing land. And now they're in exile in Babylon. They are property of others. They're slaves. They can't even worship right because you need the temple in that day and that age to worship. They can't offer the sacrifices. They can't make the daily prayers. They can't do the stuff. They're surrounded by a different language, a different culture, different religion, even different food. Everything is different, and nothing is like what it was supposed to be. And man, their heart's desire is we want to raise our kids. We want to raise our kids in Israel, in the promised land. We want our kids to grow up and have kids and kids and kids. We want to inhabit this promised land. And they're in exile in Babylon. It's not what they wanted. It's plan B. And it's painful. And here's what Jeremiah, what God says through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29. I'm going to visit you, you as plural, not individual. I'm going to visit you, Israel, and I will fulfill to you my promise. I'm going to bring you back to this place being Israel. You're going to get back to the promised land. You're going to get back. It'll happen. And here's your verse, right? We all know this one. For I know the plans I have toward you, plural, Israel, not individual, declares the Lord. Plans for good. That word for good is shalom. For your well-being. I have plans for you, and those are plans for your well-being, not for evil, to give you, plural, Israel, a future and a hope. Then, you, plural, Israel, will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'm going to hear you. Then I will hear you, not right now. You will seek me and find me. You, Israel, will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. See, what had happened is Israel had said, yes, God gave us this land. We love God. We love Jehovah. He's a good God. By the way, there's these other gods, these Asherahs and these Baals, and we want to make sure we hedge our bets and we don't want to upset them, so we're going to worship them as well, so that the sun will shine, the rain will fall, the crops will grow, our wives will have babies. We're going to worship them as well. So they bifurcated. They divided their worship between God and others, and God will not listen. God will not be just another God you worship. He's not interested. So they wound up in exile. And he says, there will come a day when you're going to seek me and find me, and you're going to seek me not with this divided heart, but with your whole heart. He says, I'll be found by you in that day, declares the Lord. I'll restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations, all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I'm going to bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. God knows where they are. They're living plan B, but it's not like he don't know. This is a declaration of restoration to a people who are waiting anxiously. They're putting off living, and they're just waiting until they can get back to the promised land, because I don't want my kids to get married unless they're in the promised land. I don't want to have grandchildren unless they're in the promised land. I don't want to live life. I don't want to build houses unless it's in the promised land. They don't want to do a thing. They're waiting anxiously, living a plan B life. They're discouraged. They're tired. They're unwilling to live right now. They're waiting. By the way, we're going to come back to this. And so just to keep you, to help you remember, there's your bookmark. Dejected cat waiting. Can you see that? Yeah. He's my friend. So, pause right here. We're going to come back to that, I promise. Pause right there. Let's talk through the Christmas story out of Luke 1. I know it doesn't make sense, but it will. Just hang out with me. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, division of Abijah. So there was this priest. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Here's what you just heard. They have an amazing pedigree. He's a priest. She's from a priestly line. You got to figure God's hand of blessing is on them. And not only that, but they're living it right. They're walking blamelessly before the Lord. They're doing everything they know to do to serve their king, right? And so when you hear that, you got to think God's hand of blessing must be on them. They got the pedigree. They come from the right bloodlines. They're God's chosen people, and they're priests. And they live what they say they believe. You got to figure they ask, God answers. God blesses their faithfulness. But they had no child. The very next sentence, it makes no sense whatsoever, because children are a blessing in that day, in that age, more than ever. And they have no children. You would think, hey, listen, they're blessed. They love God. They're from the right line. They're the right people. They got no child. They hadn't been blessed. They've been cursed. That was a curse. Because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both advanced in years. Here's what you just heard. They never had a kid. And the time for having a kid is over. Can't happen. Can't be done. She done hit those times in which she looks at her husband and says, I can't believe it's so hot in here. Turn on the air. Ask me how I know. They should be blessed, man. They should have lots of kids. They only have one child, and the chance for that is over. And I wonder how many months they had just wondering, is this the month? Is this the month? Is this the month? How many times they were let down? How many times she felt guilty, like maybe it's something she did or her parents had done or something that had happened that had upset God? I wonder how many times he wondered what he had done wrong that had upset God. How many times I wonder what it had done to their marriage. I dealt with infertility, my wife and I. It wasn't good for the marriage. I wonder how discouraged they were, how disillusioned, how hurt, even as they continued to serve God. Wonder if he'd just forgotten them. Did he not care? You know they prayed. In fact, it'll come up later. We know that they prayed. And by the way, the religious people in their town, I don't want to freak you out, and I don't want to tell you stuff that may make you go like, really? But honestly, religious people can whisper sometimes and judge. I know, I didn't mean to freak you out. I don't want to shock you. But religious people can start whispering and gossiping, and they can be very judgmental. And if God has not given you a baby, it must be because of some sin in your life or some sin in your parents' life. That's what they believed. And so here you got a priest and his wife. And when they go about their business in their small town in Nazareth, I'm sorry, it's not even Nazareth, in their small town in the hill country, they have people judging them, people that will smile at their face and talk behind their back. I'm so glad that doesn't happen these days, aren't you? But that's what they're dealing with. This is plan B. And it's not easy at all. Now, while he, Zechariah, was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood. By the way, his division is about 800 people. There were about 20,000 priests at that time. And so they would choose a lot. By lot, they would choose one of the priests who could go and offer incense. And it was about a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You were lucky if you ever got that. And so it's not something that happened regularly. And they would go to Jerusalem from wherever they were. His division is the division of Abijah. They would take off from the hill country to Jerusalem twice a year, and they would stay for a full week, and they would offer incense in the morning and evening. He was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. Here's his big moment. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. They would pray, and one of their prayers was, "Lord, we're waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Messiah. We're waiting for the Savior. We cannot wait. This is awesome." And they would pray as the incense went up. And so they're waiting to have him come back out so they know the incense has been offered and the smoke is going up. And they believe that their prayers would go up before God like the incense. And while he is in this holy place, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Listen, nobody in there. Dead quiet. Just Zechariah with this big moment. And he looks over and there's a creature there. Not a human, an angel. I've read the description of angels. Maybe it's the six wings, two and two and two. Just standing there. I don't know about you, but that would freak me out. Just a little bit. I may need some counseling after that. And Zechariah was troubled, you think, when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And this is weird to me, because every time you see an angel in the scripture, every time a messenger of the Lord shows up, an angel shows up. That's what angel means, messenger. Every time one shows up, there's fear. Every single time, fear falls upon the people. And the reason for it is they stand in the presence of Almighty God. And there's something about one of God's creatures, angels, humans, doesn't matter, who seek out God's presence on the regular. There's something that changes them on the inside. I'm not talking about I got his presence in me. Absolutely. I'm talking about seeking out, man. I want to stand in your presence, Lord. I want to be in your presence. I want to get closer. I want to know you, Lord. The Bible says he dwells in unapproachable fire. And yet because we know him, we come and sit on his lap and call him Daddy. How amazing is that? And those who will seek out his presence and his holiness, there's a change that occurs. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, you think? And fear fell upon him. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been..." I like the answer. Maybe you're a defective angel. Did you get the wrong place? No. I ain't prayed. I'm just here to light the incense. But thanks. Appreciate it. By the way, nice wings. Like, I'll get a tattoo of that one day. That's awesome. They'll hand it out at a layman church. I'll get the tattoo. It'll be cool. For your prayer has been heard. He ain't been praying. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you're going to call his name John. You know, the thing you prayed for way back when, and you finally stopped praying because, man, she went through the change and it wasn't going to happen, and you guys are past the age, and she's going to give you a son. And by the way, you don't have to invite people over to help you figure out names. You don't need to go online and look at and order, like from Amazon, a baby book, baby names. You know, the Holy Spirit done picked it out. We're going to call him John. We figure if we're giving you a baby, we're going to call him John. You're going to be cool with that. Remember what we had read? They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son. They're going to call his name John. And you, both of you, will have joy and gladness. Now let's be honest. Look right here. When God blesses you, it doesn't take away the pain you've had in the past, does it? No. Let's be real. It's good to get the blessings of God. But the pain you went through in the past is still the pain you went through. The pain you're going through now, if God blesses you in the future with what you want, is still the pain you're going through. It doesn't take it away. The blessing of the miracle will not erase the pain of the past, but it will bring joy now. The issue is what God is doing while you're in the pain, if you're willing to embrace Him. You know, all that pain, all that discouragement, the whispers of the good religious folks. God says, I'm redeeming it. I'm going to trade it in for something good. Yes, you went through these empty years. Yes, it was tough. Yes, it was hard on the marriage. Yes, the town folks like to judge you, but I'm blessing you. I'm redeeming it. I'm trading it in for something of worth and value. It had negative value in your life. I'm going to give it good value. And he says, and many, he goes on, the angel says, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. Get this, listen. Whatever God blesses you with, I'm not talking money, I'm talking whatever, it's never just about you. Ever. God says, I'm going to bless others through your blessing. I'm going to bless you, but guess what? He's going to bless the nations. You mean the people who whispered and judged and made it hard for us in this town? You're going to bless. Yes, God is blessing everyone. No exceptions. And He calls us to do the same. Absolutely. Because you serve a God who doesn't just bless the good people. If we served a God who only blesses the good people, ain't none of us get in. If this is a Western, we all got black hats. Christ is the only one with a white hat. I know I want to look at your sin and say, yeah, but at least I'm not like so-and-so. None of us makes it on our own. Aren't you glad we don't serve a God who only blesses the good people? We serve a God who is good and becomes one of us and suffers and dies for us in our place. That's our God. He goes on, he says, and I'm going to make a point, a couple of points. I want you to stay with me on this because I can't skip them. They're in the text. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. And I know immediately the Baptist in you, the legalist in you, the Bible Belt person in you is saying, see right there? You don't drink. You're not supposed to drink. It says right there. In fact, it even covered wine and strong drink. And so that's all of it. Don't drink. Whoa, I'm going to fall. It'll be cool. Don't drink. Don't do it. It says it right there. Hold on. You don't tell people who never drink not to let their kid drink. Right? Jesus puts it this way. John came neither eating nor drinking, and you say he has a demon. I came both eating and drinking, and you call me a glutton and an alcoholic, a drunk. God does not say to people who don't drink that their kid can never drink. It's normal in that culture. They didn't have a problem with it. But God may say, and you need to get this, God may say to you, you don't get to drink because you can't handle it. Stop fighting for freedoms when God wants to set you free from addiction. It's okay to drink unless God says to you, you can't. That's where maturity in the faith comes. Yeah, but Lord, I went to this gathering of people. They were Christian and they had beer. And how come they can have it and I can't? Because that's your Achilles heel. Lord, I went to the gathering and they had all this food. And how come some of them can eat and just stop and I can't? Because that's your Achilles heel. And when you're willing to admit your weaknesses, you find that Christ is strong in you. So God doesn't say, don't let him drink unless it's normal to drink. But he may say to you, that ain't your freedom. I got other freedoms for you. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Let me say something. I want you to catch this. Listen, if we disagree on things, you're not on enemy territory. It's okay to think differently here. The evidence from Scripture. Let me do it this way. God's Spirit does not fill a mass of tissue. He fills people. Made in his image. And I tell you that for this reason. I knew a girl once. Grew up in church. They never talked about abortion. Not once. And this is not an abortion thing. Hang out with me. Don't let the wall come up. Stay with me. They never talked about it. And she found herself pregnant and alone. And didn't feel like she could tell her parents. She knew her mom would be so disappointed. She didn't really have much of a relationship with her dad where she would tell him. She had never heard anything one way or the other. And so she did what you do. We use euphemisms, right? She took care of it. She made a choice. She exercised her reproductive rights. And she knew almost immediately, for her, she believed, not because somebody told her, not because she went to a church or they preached it. She immediately felt like she had ended the life of her child. But nobody told her in advance. And so when we hit the scripture, I'm not going to pass over it. Listen, the overwhelming evidence of scripture is that is a life growing in you. And if God will fill that life with the Holy Spirit, He values it as well. And let me say it again, if we disagree, you're not on enemy territory. We love you. You can disagree and we're cool. You may have been through it and you didn't sense any of those things. God bless you. You may have been through it and now you feel guilty. God loves you right now as you are. And your healing will come when you embrace Him. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from His mother's womb. And He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will turn many of the children. So He's going to turn Israel, who is supposed to be God's people, He will turn them to the Lord their God, and He will go before Him, Jesus, who is the Lord their God, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared, the precursor to the work of God, because we've got folks who are praying all the time, Lord, bring us revival. Lord, do a work in this nation. Lord, bring us revival. The precursor to the work of God in a nation and in a people is His work in you and in His people. And before I pray, Lord, revive this nation, I need to pray, Lord, revive my own heart. Help me get rid of my own stuff. Because I got a log in my eye while I'm looking at the splinter in yours. Zechariah said to the angel, because he has just heard this mind-blowing thing, and he says, how shall I know this? Hey, Zechariah, you're talking to an angel in a sealed room. That should be your first clue. Here's your sign. How am I going to know this? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. It's beyond. It's impossible. We waited month after month. It almost destroyed our marriage. It hurt us. We're disillusioned. We're discouraged. I can't believe this. Even if I'm talking to an angel, I am so hurt inside. I just can't trust again. I just can't. It's plan B, and I don't want to put my hopes in that again and get let down yet again. Month after month after month, I can't do it. I don't want to get my hopes up. I can't do this to my wife. I can't go home and tell my wife, hey, baby, you're going to have a son. We're going to call him John because of name. I can't do this to her. It would destroy her. I can't do it. She can't hope yet again, only to be let down yet again. Two things play into this, why he would ask that question. Years of discouragement. Hoping and praying and waiting and wishing. Serving through the hurt and the disappointment. And secondly, it ain't possible. Women who've been through the change don't have children. When they're advanced in years, they don't have kids. It don't happen. Them eggs have all been fried. Great, now I'm just hungry. The mess Jesus meets us in, you and I today, Roanoke, Virginia, 2018, we can get to the point that we give up believing because of what's happened, what's been done to us, what we've done, where we find ourselves in our lives. We can get to that point where, Lord, I can't. I'm afraid to trust anymore. I don't believe anymore in a God who breaks down walls. I don't believe anymore in a resurrected King who is resurrecting me. I don't believe anymore in a God who can do these things. I'll practice my religion. I'll be in church, but Lord, I'm afraid to believe You for anything big. I'm afraid to believe You for miracles. We get to the point that we'll refuse to even believe because it would take a miracle and we ain't seen Him in a long time. And when that happens, living fully stops. While we wait and we're discouraged and we're hurting and we're giving up and we're living a plan B life. Going through the motions instead of embracing every season of life for what it has to offer. Here's what we said before and we'll say it again. How you handle where you are is more important than where you are. So he says, how can I know I'm old? My wife is old. Is this just another cruel trick, God? Or are you just playing a trick on us? Why should I get my hopes up? I cannot do this to my wife. I can't go home and tell her this. I can't. It would destroy her, and I love that woman. The angel answered him, I'm Gabriel, B. He may not have said it that way. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of Almighty God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. You want to know how you're going to know? You're going to be silent. You cannot speak until these things take place because you did not believe my words. And they're going to be fulfilled. Well, the people are waiting for Zechariah. Man, this sundial ever going to move? And he's in there, like forever, having this conversation. They were wondering at his delay in the temple, like, is he slow? What's going on with him? What? And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. He was mute. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. He kept making signs to them. Signs everywhere, signs. And remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. That which is impossible happened. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden. For 5 months, she was so scarred and so hurt. There was no way she was going to show the baby bump and talk about what had happened, only to lose the baby and have them mock her yet again and call her cursed. Because again, I don't want to shock you, good religious folk can be some of the meanest people you will ever meet in your life. Amen? Yeah. So for 5 months, she keeps herself hidden. And then finally she says, 5 months, I guess I'm going to keep it. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. He hadn't forgotten me. He redeemed the pain. He's taken away my reproach. While they're busy with their grandkids, I'm having a brand new baby. I get to experience life. God never forgot. And yes, almost their whole lives are left waiting. Plan B, no children. And if they have put off living until they have kids, then they have wasted years and years and years of their lives. Oh, let me do it this way. If you're putting off living until some future event, you're wasting the life God has given you. Cut it out. Yeah, but this is a season of pain. Great, embrace it for what God wants to teach you through it. Yeah, but this is hard right now. I got it. And it will make you tougher as you, in your weakness, trust God for His power. That you will wait in this life is a given. There are going to be things you wait for. It's just going to be the way it is. How you wait, why you wait means everything, because Jesus will meet you in the mess. How you handle where you are is more important than where you are. This is where Jesus is, in the mess, in the discouragement, in the disillusionment, in the pain and the hurt and the fears. This is where Jesus is, right here. God doesn't just show up in the blessing. Life doesn't just begin then. He's here now and life is here now, and you got today and you may have tomorrow, and God bless you if you do, but right now you got today. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're going to have a baby. And that baby's going to be the last prophet before Christ comes, and he's going to prepare the way for Christ. Now, let me go back to the cat. You remember the cat that's waiting, that cat that's just kind of hanging out waiting? Remember that cat? Let me go back to the cat. The people of Israel, they're living in Babylon. They're waiting. They're not in the promised land. And here's what God says to... I love that cat. Here's what God says to them. They're waiting because they're not where they should be. And where they want to be is not where they are. So they wait. They're hurt. They're discouraged. They're paralyzed. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Same chapter. Jeremiah 29. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles from whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. People are no longer in the promised land. Here's what I'm saying, God says. Build houses. Who? We're supposed to be in a promised land. I ain't building a tent. Put up another tent. Get a big tent. We'll go glamping. But I ain't building no house. Maybe a tiny house. Build houses and live in them. Make it home. Plant gardens. Plant gardens, but I want to go back, eat food from the promise. Plant gardens and eat their produce. You know what that tells them? You're going to be here a while. make your home here. But this ain't home, true, but it's where you are. And by faith, you can live now wherever you are. By faith, you can live now wherever... By faith, listen, church, you can live now wherever you are. Take wives, have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Oh no, Lord, we can't. I've always wanted the wedding for my son and his girlfriend. I've always wanted the wedding for my daughter and her. I've always wanted it to be in the promised land. I've always wanted the babies to be born in the promised land. We can't do this here. God says, oh yeah, you will. Multiply there. Don't decrease. But Lord, we're not in the promised land. Yeah, wherever you are as God's people, multiply there. Don't decrease. Multiply there. We're in a theater for crying out loud. We're not sitting and waiting and holding on. We're not trying to hold it together. Guys, we're increasing. I don't know if you look around, but we're increasing. There's people we ain't even met yet that I'm looking at. I can see if I look real hard. We will not decrease. We will multiply where we are. And then he says this, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. You know what the word for welfare is? Shalom. Seek the well-being, the peace of the city where I have sent you. Seek the peace of these people. They put us in slavery. Why would I seek their peace? Because in their peace you find your peace. Wherever you find yourself, seek the blessing of everyone around you. Because in their blessing, you find your blessing. And if you let yourself get so bitter that you cut off your nose to spite your face, that you're so angry at them, you celebrate their losses. You're celebrating your own because you're tied to them. Remember what we had said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That word for good is shalom. It's the same word. Seek their welfare. God says, I have these plans for you, your welfare. Not when you finally get there, but right here, right now. This is where your welfare is. Wherever you are, whatever's been done to you, however it's gone down, seek the blessing of the place and the people. Because when you do, you're seeking your own blessing. Yeah, but you don't know my work, man. I work for Satan. Seek the blessing of the place where you work. Quit gossiping about the boss and how much you don't like this, you don't like that, and you wish this was different. Seek to be a blessing and watch it bless you. Watch it. Watch what God does. Yeah, but I don't like those neighbors. You wouldn't believe my neighbor. Seek to be a blessing to your neighbors because that's God's will for you. Wherever you are. Yeah, but I'm plan B and it's not where I wanted to live. It's not where I wanted to work. It's not the marriage I wanted to be in. It's not the family I wanted to have. It's not where I wanted to seek to be a blessing. Seek the welfare, the shalom of the place where you are. For in its shalom, its peace, its well-being, you find your shalom, your peace, your well-being. Because your blessing is tied to it. So you seek to embrace life where you are right now. How you handle where you are is much more important than where you are. For thus says the Lord, and he ends it this way, when 70 years are completed, when 70 years go by, I'll visit you, plural, and I'll fulfill to you, Israel, my promise and bring you back. You know what they just heard? You ain't making it back. Your children ain't going to make it back, but their children will. Live now, because if you wait until you get back, you die waiting. You waste your life. That verse, I know the plans I have for you, that's not a verse you want tattooed on you. If you have it, God bless you. I hope you enjoy it. Just saying, that's not a life verse for you. That is a 70 years plan B, live now verse. Jesus meets us in the discouragement, in the what could have been, in the waiting. And if we will embrace life now, if we will seek to be a blessing where we are, if we will trust Him even now, we will find that He is more than enough. Here's what I wrote last year this Sunday. It was on the PowerPoint. Last year this Sunday, with a building for sale, not knowing what was going to happen and all that would happen this year, I said this, as a church, we're going to be faithful with what we have while we wait and pray. We were in the building waiting to move. For what God may give us in the future. So now we're in a theater, and we're waiting for what God may give us If we continue in the waiting instead of being faithful, and I love what you're doing, I love that you're inviting, I love that people are coming, I love this. If we instead just back up and wait until God gives us a building to fully live, and I get it, we're carrying a cross, it's not as easy. We don't have a big lobby where we actually do sometimes, so we don't have like this big place where you walk in, everybody can talk, it's not as warm, I get all of that. We're carrying a cross for the sake of the call. And I have no doubt God has moved us here. I have no doubt that we're increasing here. I have no doubt that people are going to come to know Jesus here. That people are going to be rescued from angry and bitter hearts because of what religion has done to them. They're going to find help and hope and comfort and healing here. We're not doing plan B. And if your idea is plan B, I guess we just wait. I don't like this at all. This may not be the church for you. Wherever God places us, we will be fully there, we will be faithful, we will trust Him, and we will advance. Multiply there, do not decrease. We'll advance in your own life. Oh, but I can't until unless. No, no, no. Multiply where you are. Be fruitful where you are. Trust God where you are. Let me stop. Questions, comments, disagreements, and then we'll pray.